too busy.
I'm just too young.
I'm too old.
I'm already married.
I'm just not good enough.
There are a lot of reasons why not to answer God's call. We look at our lives, our imperfect, unprepared, even sinful lives, and all we're able to see is what's missing, what we can't do. How could God use me, we ask? There must be better people.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everybody. I bid you a warm welcome to the Lit Forward podcast. I'm your host, Esther Tigrewa. I welcome you guys wherever you're coming from across the globe. Guys, I want to say a big thank you to everyone for listening to the podcast, liking it, sharing, rating it. Apparently, that's really helping to put the podcast out there, getting people all over the world to watch this, listen to this. So this is really great. Thank you, guys. God bless you guys immensely. So I first want to open up today's episode with a brief prayer. So please bow your head. In Jesus' name, our Heavenly Father, Lord, O God, we thank you, O God, for this new episode. We pray, O God, that as we bring this episode, O God, to your daughter or your son, wherever they may be listening to this episode, I pray, O God, for a divine visitation and a divine encounter. Father, Lord, O God, I pray, O God, that may I decrease and may you increase, O God. I pray, O God, you shall be able to speak through me and help me, O God, to bring this word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Guys, that was a wonderful prayer. I felt in my spirit. So guys, the topic for today is God doesn't call the qualified, he qualifies the called. I'm going to say that again. God doesn't call the qualified, he qualifies the called. I think that there's this misconception that goes around. People think that you have to be doing so well in life, you have to be this perfect, self-righteous person before God can use you for the furtherance of his work here on earth. But no, that's not true. You don't have to be doing exceedingly great in life. You just have to love God. You have to give your life to Christ and allow him be the Lord and Savior over your life for him to use you. And there are a few more steps that we're going to uncover today as we look into the story of Noah. A lot of us who grew up in church and went to Sunday school were probably very familiar with this story. But if you didn't grow up in church and probably like an unbeliever and you just stumbled on here, God bless you. There's a purpose and there's a plan for you being on here. I pray that you leave today with a word from God. But if you just stumbled upon this, I want you to know that God loves you. God cares. And we're going to look into the story of Noah. So Noah is a man in the Bible who was perfect in his time. He was righteous. He walked in a blameless light. And he did everything that was right in God's sight. And God called him on an assignment. And that assignment we're going to look at as we read Genesis 6 from verse 9 to 22. And I'm going to be reading from the NKJV version. So turn with me to Genesis 6, verse 9 2:22. This is the genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generation. Noah walked with God, and Noah begot three sons, Shem, Ham, and Jephthah. The earth was also corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. So God looked upon the earth, and indeed it was corrupt, for all the flesh had corrupted their ways on the earth. And God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood. Make room in the ark and cover it inside and outside with pitch. And this is how you shall make it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, with the width 50 cubits, and its height 30 cubits. You shall make a window for the ark, and you shall finish it with a cubit from above, and set the door of the ark and its side. You shall make it with the lower second and third deck. And behold, I am myself bringing flood on the earth to destroy under the heavens and all flesh, in which it's the breath of life. Everything that is on earth shall die. but I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall go into the ark, you, your sons, your wife, and your son's wife with you. And of every living thing of flesh you bring, bring two of each sort into the ark. So to keep them alive with you, they shall be male and female. Of the birds after their kind, of animals after their kind, and of every creeping thing on the earth after its kind, two of every kind will come to keep you with them alive. And you shall take for yourself of all the food that is eating, and you shall gather it to yourself, and it shall be food for you and for them. Thus Noah did according to all God had commanded him, so he did. May God bless the reading of his holy word, and may his name be blessed and adored now forevermore. Amen. So whilst I was preparing for this episode, I asked myself a question, and the question is, what exactly did God see in Noah? Like, why Noah? Of everyone in his time, what did God see in Noah? And I came to the conclusion that God sees four things, or God is looking for four things to use us greatly. And these are the four things that he was able to find in Noah. The first being, God is looking for men and women with integrity. And we can see this in Genesis 6 verse 9. It says that Noah was a righteous man, and he walked blamelessly with God. And righteous here connotes that he wasn't perfect, but he was right, and he did what was right in God's sight. He lived an upright life. And what blameless here means is that he had a good name, and people could not bring anything of disrepute to his name because he did the right thing. He also worked in close fellowship with God. This means that he didn't just have a drive-through faith like most of us had. He had a dying faith. He was willing to sacrifice his time. He was willing to know God's voice. He was willing to dwell with him. He was willing to, you know, commune with God. But some of us don't have that. Some of us don't have that time. We're like, well, I just got off work, so I don't have time. I'm tired, or I need to go to a gym. You know, we find an excuse not to commune with God, not to have fellowship with him. And so he was a man of integrity. God is calling us to be women, men and women of integrity. You know, a question I'm also asking myself is that when God looks from heaven down, does he see me as a woman of integrity, or does he see me as a woman who brings disrepute to her name and to God's name? Because actually, we're all God's workmanship. We're all God's children, and God has called us down for a reason, and God has just brought us here to represent him. And as we're believers, we're representing God in our every action. Are we bringing disrepute to his name, or are we bringing praise to his name? You know, the Bible says, and also thinking about this in preparing, I realized that for you to have a relationship with someone, you should be able to hear that voice. For a good example is my mom. I know how my mom sounds. No one's going to come and try and be an imposter and say, oh, I'm your mom, and they sound something that is not like how my mom sounds. Probably going to tell them that, oh, get off your high horse. That's not my mom. I've lived with my mom for many years, so I know how she sounds. In the same way, if I have a relationship with God, I know how he sounds. So when the devil comes creeping around trying to deceive me and tell me lies about myself, about what God wants me to do, I'm able to shut that down quickly. And we see this in John 10:27 and John 10:5. It talks about how we are God's sheep. We hear our voice. We hear his voice, and the voice of a stranger we should not hear. The Bible says, my sheep hears my voice, and the voice of a stranger they shall not hear. So God is calling us not to heed to the voice of the stranger, but to hear him and to live for him. And in order to do that, we need to have a close-knit relationship with God. The second thing that God is looking for is God is looking for people who are obedient people, people who have obedient spirit. And we can see this in Genesis 6 verse 22, which is the last verse. And it says, Noah did everything according to what God had commanded him to do. What God asked Noah to do was against human logic, bro. It looked like he was crazy, but Noah still did it because he had an obedient spirit. Let me just say this to you, that what God is calling you to do might look crazy. What God is calling you to do might be countercultural. But the question is, are you going to obey? Or are you only going to obey God when you know what he's calling you to do, or you know how that's going to be in the future? Noah didn't really know what God had planned. He didn't know how long he was going to be in the ark for. He looked crazy in his community, but he still obeyed God. Do you have an obedient spirit? Or are you careless and you don't care about what God has to say, unless you know the full picture? The Bible tells us that we only know in part. So we can't know the full picture. So regardless of what God has called us to do, we need to be faithful. And guys, can we also say this, that stop asking your friends and family what God has asked you to do. Seek him. Seek him and he will tell you. Have a relationship with him and he will tell you. It links so well with the first one. Let's look at the third one and we'll almost be done. The third one is that God uses diligent people. And this is so clear in Genesis 6 verse 3. And it says that, from my knowledge and from the commentary and things I've seen, it says that it took Noah 120 years to finish building the ark. 120 years, guys. Can that sink in? 120 years. Some of us can't even spend 120 minutes doing something without getting tired or quitting. Not to talk of 120 hours. Not even to talk of 120 years. I'll give a good example. I go to the gym, I'm so energetic and stuff. I get there, and sometimes I feel tired, but I have to push. Diligence is pushing, it's discipline. Saying, no, I need to be in the gym for an hour, 30 minutes, so I'm going to work. I'm going to work my butt off because I know it's going to pay off afterwards. In the same way, God is looking for us to be diligent in every walk of life. Not only in your relationship with him, but at work. God tells us to do everything that we do as if it's unto God and not unto man. What do you think that means? That means diligence. If you're at work, put in your 100%. If you're in school, put in your 100%. In church, when you're serving, put in your 100%. Don't say, because I'm not getting paid at church, I'm not going to put my 100% in. No, put everything in, because you're doing it for your maker and not for man. Guys, we need to put the hard work in. Noah put the hard work in. Noah painstakingly did what God asked him to do. He built an ark. It took him 120 years. Dip that. 120 years. I'm sure there were times he wanted to cave in and say, you know what, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this, God, please. But the thing is, he was diligent. He said, regardless of how I feel, I'm still going to do it. Verse 22 tells us that he did everything that God asked him to do. Are you doing everything God asked you to do? Or are you just doing partially because, you know what, I can see the benefit now. I can see the short-term benefit. I can't see the long-term benefit. So I'm not going to do what God asked me to do. I'm not going to finish that task. There's something my mentor has been saying. She's been saying, do what you say you were going to do. And that triggered me, because sometimes I say I'm going to do something, but I end up not doing it. Do what you say you're going to do, and God is going to bless you. If you want to be great, and if you want to be greatly used by God, do what you say you're going to do. The fourth one is, and stop giving excuses to throw the towel in. The fourth one is, God uses flawed people. And we can see this in Genesis 9 verse 21. Genesis 9 verse 21 is a continuation of Noah's story. But here now, time has passed. Noah is actually in the ark. And what happens is that Noah was tending to the vineyard. When he's tending to the vineyard, he had a lot to drink and he became drunk and he was uncovered. He was naked. And Ham, who was the father of Cain, came in and told. He came in and looked at his father naked, went out and told Shem and Japheth, and he said, Shem and Japheth, look, father is naked. Father is naked. Shem and Japheth came in. They didn't look at their father naked. They took a cover cloth, covered the father's nakedness, and went out. The question is, it's not about what Shem and Japheth and Ham did. it's more about Noah. This was a man who was righteous in his time. This was a man who never brought disrepute and stuff, but yeah, he got drunk and he laid naked. He got so drunk that his sons had to come in and cover his nakedness. One thing I love about the Bible is that it shows us that great men and women of God, who are greatly used by God, also have flaws. They also have flaws. Moses had a flaw. Moses struck the rock. He struck the rock too hard. Abraham had a flaw. He tried to help God. What's your flaw? What's my flaw? God is calling flawed people. Get me. This is not an excuse. I'm not encouraging you to do the wrong thing. I'm just telling you that you don't have to be perfect for God to use you. You don't have to have X amount of money in your bank account for God to use you. God uses whosoever he deems fit. I want to leave you with this verse of scripture. Titus 2:11-12, and it says, God's marvelous grace has manifested in person, bringing salvation for everyone. Verse 12. This same grace teaches us how to live each day as we turn our backs on ungodless and indulgent lifestyle. And he equips us to live self-controlled, upright, godly lives in the present age. Be encouraged, child of God, children of God, be encouraged. God is calling us to live a godly life in a godless world. God is calling us to be in relationship with him. For God to greatly use you, he just needs four things. Be a man or woman of integrity. Have an obedient spirit. Be diligent. And he's also used people who were flawed. He took Saul, and Saul became Paul. Saul, who was killing everybody, he became a man after God's heart. I want to pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, oh God, I thank you, God, for your son or daughter who is at the other part of this podcast listening. I pray, oh God, you shall be able to help them and understand that you're not calling perfect people. You're calling people who are flawed. People who have a heart to serve you and to do good. People who are saved and who are saved to the uttermost. We looked at the story today, oh God, of Noah. And how, at first, he was a perfect man. But in verse 9, verse 21 of chapter 9, we see how he got drunk and he involved himself in getting drunk, that he laid naked. Father, Lord, oh God, I pray, oh God, you shall be able to help. In Jesus' name. Once again, I'm your host, Esther Etigweyua. Peace.